After looking at two extraordinary people involved in the birth of Jesus last week, today we turn from the extraordinary people to the extraordinary place of the birth of Christ. We turn from the who to the where and ask, why Bethlehem? But the prophet Micah foretold that after a time of exile and struggle, God would provide a king for his people who would rule and whose kingdom would never end. And that he would be a Messiah or one who would deliver God's people from their oppression. They had become apostate. They had turned away from God. And God said, I'm going to provide a king for you that will rule over you, but free you from all this oppression. But first, I'm going to allow you to go into exile. And they did. They were taken into exile. They were taken by the Babylonians into captivity for 70 years. And Micah also prophesied that this Messiah, or this king, would be born in Bethlehem, or as it was called in ancient times, Ephrathah. And we read today in our text the prophet Micah's prophecy. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is given labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. And what Micah is speaking of here is saying Israel will be abandoned, speaking of them going into exile, that they will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth and the rest of his brothers return, speaking of the reuniting of Israel through the prophesied Messiah and how the nation would be united under one king whose kingdom will have no end. Now, let's look at this a little bit. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. Bread was a staple item necessary for nourishment and necessary to sustain a person. It is still today. And it's interesting that Jesus would later say, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. Isn't it amazing how the bread of life came from the house of bread? Isn't that amazing? His rule would be a time of peace for the people. But why did God choose Bethlehem for the birthplace of this king? You have to turn all the way back to 2 Samuel to find out that. The Lord said to Nathan, who was a prophet, to tell David. Nathan and David were close. And the Lord gave a word to Nathan to go tell David. Because David wanted to build a house or a building or a temple for God to dwell in. And God says, I don't need a building. I don't need a building. But he said to Nathan, go tell my servant this. Tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you, David, from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people, Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone. I have cut off all of your enemies from before you. And now I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. The Lord declares to you, David, that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, he's talking about Solomon there. Because God would not allow David to build the temple for him, because David was a warrior. Okay, he had some blood on his hands. But God was saying, I'm going to raise up from your offspring someone who will come from your own body and establish his kingdom. He was talking about Solomon, that it would be a kingdom of peace and glory because of the building of the temple, which Solomon did just a short time later. And he says, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father. He will be my son. When he does wrong, I'll punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him as I took it away from Saul. Remember, Saul turned away from the Lord. Saul, Israel's first king, turned away from the Lord. And God took his love away from Saul. And he removed Saul from the throne. He says, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. So what God was telling the prophet Nathan to tell David was, someone from you will always sit on your throne. One of your offspring will always be the king and be the leader of these people. So you see, God was being faithful here later on to his promise. And he prophesied in Micah that this king, this Davidic king, one of David's own offspring, would be born in Bethlehem. God was being faithful to his promise. And Jesus was of the lineage of King David. Isaiah the prophet said, a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse. Jesse's David's father. A shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. So David and Jesus were both descendants of Jesse. The prophet Jeremiah says, in those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth, a righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days, Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell in safety. And this is the name by which she shall be called. The Lord is our righteousness, or Jehovah our righteousness. That had to be Jesus. And the place in which God chose for this to take place was Bethlehem, as the prophet Micah foretold. So God was not only faithful to his promise, he was faithful to his prophecies, both through Nathan, the prophecy through Nathan, and the prophecy through Micah, as Jesus was born hundreds of years later in Bethlehem. Second, what a better place. What a good place. There's no better place for David's offspring to be born than in David's native town. Bethlehem was a place where David himself was born and anointed king. Bethlehem was the true town of David, although Jerusalem was later called the city of David because David built the original part of it and made Jerusalem his headquarters later on. Bethlehem was also the burial place of Rachel, the wife of Jacob, one of the biblical patriarchs, and it was the place where Ruth and Boaz lived. It was important in its own way, but yet it was still small and insignificant. And best of all, why did God choose Bethlehem? Because Bethlehem was insignificant. The inn there was full, not only because it was on a main road from Jerusalem to Egypt, but it was also busy because of people like Joseph coming to register for the census. But God knew this. In fact, he planned it that way, or else Jesus would have been born to someone who would have been somewhere else registering for the census, somewhere else where there were rooms in the inns. But God planned it that way. Because in Bethlehem, Jesus would be born in such a lowly estate so he could identify with all classes of people, especially those who think they aren't good enough to be associated with the King of Glory. And for you kids here this morning, for you kids, I want you to listen to this. Jesus was once a kid too. He knows what it's like to be a kid. For you teenagers, he knows what it's like to be a teenager. Talk about pressure. He was the firstborn son, and the custom of the Jews was that the firstborn son would be dedicated to the Lord to serve the Lord. I want you to think about this. Your life being planned for you to go to college. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer. Or you're going to be a minister. Talk about pressure. His future was already figured out for him. He would have to study, to learn, to teach, and preach. He didn't have a choice. You can't tell Jesus. He doesn't know what it's like. And just like you teenagers, His old man and his old lady ragged down on him when they couldn't find him until days later when they went to the festival, the Feast of the Passover in Jerusalem. And he was in the temple courts. They left, and it was days before they found him. They said, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxious. We've been worried about you." You want someone who understands you, teenagers? Try Jesus. He knows what it's like. He's been there. God's perfect place was Bethlehem, in a feeding trough among the barn animals. How many of us here this morning were born in a barn or laid in a feeding trough where animals eat? Charlie and Chris, Jeanette, Bob, is Alan here? How many of you guys have ever had an expecting mother call you and say, "Get the barn ready, the baby's coming"? You know? Jesus was born in such a lowly estate so he could identify with everyone from the bottom up. Jesus started at the bottom and he rose to glory by the almighty hand of God. Bethlehem wasn't significant because it had a Walmart, a McDonald's, a Sam's Club, or a Best Buy, or a mall. You couldn't even get cell service there, cell phone service. It was significant because Jesus was born there and God chose it to make it significant. That's why we read about it and sing about it today. And God chose it, Bethlehem, little old Bethlehem, to show us that he even comes to the lowly places, the lowest of places. He shows us, like he says, his ways are not our ways. Search it out before you doubt. Search it out before you doubt. It's sad that so many think they're not good enough for Christ to be born in their hearts today. This is the beauty of Jesus Christ. He keeps coming and still to lowly places. But sadly, many take a look at the manger once a year and they say they believe, but yet they deny Christ that birthplace in their hearts the rest of the year. This is good news of great joy for all people for all times. The religious leaders and the chief priests knew that the prophecy said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. They told Herod that, but they wouldn't go and see for themselves. Had they gone and accepted his birth in their own lives, think about the eternal difference it would have made in their lives. But you see, he wasn't what they were looking for. He wasn't what they were looking for. He wasn't what they expected. And he isn't what many expect today, but he still is the Son of God, born in Bethlehem like the prophet said he would be. You can deny him that place in the manger of your heart, but you cannot change who he is, where he was born, and why he came. He came in love. He came by grace. He came as a Christmas gift, and who knows what you and I need any better than our Creator, who knows us best. He knows exactly what each one of us needs most, and that is a baby boy born in Bethlehem. He's the right size, he's the right color, he's the right flavor, and he gives joy for all eternity. He is the bread of life from the house of bread, Bethlehem. How silently, the wondrous gift is given that God imparts to human hearts the blessings of heaven. We may not hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will still receive him still, the dear Christ still enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in and be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. So come to us. Abide with us, our Lord, Emmanuel. Let's pray.